What's going on, everyone? This is Jonathan Barbera with episode 2 and 3 of An Investor's Week. So this is a segment that we decided to start, which being that the podcast is called An Investor's Journey, we figured that, you know, even though we were sharing some tips and strategies and stuff like that, we wanted to also show you what it is that we do every week in our business, right? So we started this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But last week and the week before were just crazy. And it completely, you know, I didn't have the time to sit down and put it together and go over everything. So, which is why I'm doing it today on a Monday. So let's get started. We're going to start with the week before last. So that week was kind of hectic because we're getting towards the end of two of our renovations. And what seems to happen is at the end of every one of our renovations, we seem to have to go in and finish it ourselves. Now, this may be because we have the experience in construction, which is why we decide to do this. But also it helps because the finishing touches that we're doing, they're very detailed stuff. They're stuff that really stand out, that if they're not done correctly, it might not look right to the homeowner and might be issues with the inspection. You know, little things that we've seen as we flipped all these houses, that every time we get an inspection done, they'll flag you for this little thing or that little thing. So we're trying to get rid of the little things that they will flag you for. Not that they're big issues, but typically it kind of scares the buyers away sometimes when it's too many little things. They start asking questions and want concessions and a bunch of things that is just not necessary. So if we can avoid them, we do. And so pretty much at the end of every project, we started doing that. But on one of them, we had the issue that we actually had to let go of our contractor on top of that. And we weren't close to this point where we like to step in. So there was still some work that needed to get done. And this gentleman that we hired, he had done a previous project for us, which he did a good job on. So we figured, you know, try him again. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was having some health issues. I don't know if it was that or he got in over his head. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but he started slowing down and literally just not showing up to the job site. And it kind of went on for a week and a half, more or less, of this of, yeah, tomorrow, oh, I got this done, I got that done, and kind of nickel and diming us for, you know, he would do a couple hundred feet of trim. Can I get paid for that? He'll do this little patch. Can I get paid for that? And, you know, we don't like to work that way because it's not something that we want to write off, you know, 300 checks to you by the time the job is done because you're doing little things here and there. Like, we break it down by scope. You know, you need to do this whole scope before you get paid. And it makes it easier for us to manage. But this guy was kind of like, you know, hey, I did this, this, and this. Can I get paid for this? And it just started dragging on. And we had this happen already at another property where the contractor had gotten in over his head and he didn't know what he was doing. And it took me a minute to realize what was happening. So this time kind of sensed it a little quicker. And we sat down with John and we're like, no, we got to get rid of this guy. I mean, maybe he can work out, but we can't take the risk on this project. Like, we got to get it done. We got to get it moving. So we decided to, you know, just tell him to, you know, pretty much fire the guy. Luckily we have other contractors lined up, which we are always looking for contractors. Even if we have good ones right now, we're always looking for other ones and testing them on different rehabs because of this situation. You just never know when it's going to be that, you know, that last project that they do for us. And like this job, when they're going to leave you hanging in the, you know, towards the end of a project. So we brought in other people to finish it out and we kind of spread it across a couple different contractors. And we had to step in and do one of the rehabs. We had to step in and actually finish it out like many of the other ones. We had to do the quarter round, some paint, the vent hood, exterior landscaping. I mean, some of these landscapers, holy crap. They charge an arm and a leg and they do really shitty work. So, you know, we had to do the landscaping. So it was taking up a lot of time. But at the end of the day, in a tight market is what we've seen that we've needed to do. It's not ideal, right? I mean, it's funny because everybody thinks that flipping houses is so simple. You just get your investor-friendly contractor and you're good to go. And it's very far from the truth. I mean, you need to know what's happening. You need to be ready to roll up your sleeves, put in some work. Because if we didn't have the ability to do this ourselves, we would have had to hire a landscaper. We would have had to hire these people to do everything that we've done. And I mean, just to give you an idea, material alone on one quick Home Depot stop was $600. So $600 worth of materials, you know, you pretty much almost triple that for labor. So, I mean, we're saving a couple thousand dollars per scope pretty much by doing the job ourselves, right? And the fact that the biggest factor is not even the saving the couple thousand dollars, it's the quality that it's getting done. Because we know that we do good quality ourselves, right? So all these little last minute touches are being done to our standards to make sure that when buyers come through, they love the property. So that has really held us up. But, you know, it's something that we're just kind of counting on as we do these renovations. We know that the last week or two, we're going to have to step in and do more work and finish stuff off. And luckily, the more projects we do, we were needed at these projects a little less each time. Our first renovation, we actually were there for like almost a month. Because, I mean, we fired the same thing. We had to get rid of the contractor halfway through. And it was still electrical. It was still so much stuff left over. And we had to step in. And as time goes on and we kind of get the hang of these contractors and we kind of, you know, can predict the level of stupidity some of them have, we can anticipate these screw-ups, right? So a lot of times, even though they're like, oh, yeah, we screwed this up, we'll go back and fix it, but they're already at another job. They're already doing this. By the time they get there and they fix it, I don't know when it's going to be, and they're already trying to rush through it because they're losing money. Anything they have to fix, they're losing money on. That's something that I hear a lot of investors say, and I don't agree with, where they're like, oh, if they screw this up, I'm just going to have them redo it and, you know, fuck them and this and that. And I'm like, well, no, it's more like fuck you on that point. Because if you're having them redo this and all this, and it's a lot of work and it might be materials and they're taking a hit, they start losing motivation really quick. Especially when a lot of these people are doing it like a very marginal profit. And I don't think it's because the money's not there. I just think it's because they don't work here. I mean, it blows my mind. When I used to do construction, we would start a project at 7 a.m. And sometimes, if we were lucky, we would finish around 4. But most of the time, we would finish around 6, 7 p.m. Right? So most days, it was 10, 12-hour days. And it was every day like that. You know, including Saturdays. Sometimes we had to work Sundays. That's just what it was. There's one time that we worked until 3 in the morning to finish a project. That's how it was when I was doing construction. These guys, I mean, they do like freaking 7 to 3, 4 to 8. I mean, 4, 5, 6 hours. Like, you're not going to make money in construction that way. You actually have to put in time. You got to be working from 7 to 7 every day. And that's the problem, is they're taking way too long to finish a project because they don't work. You know, they're working like literally half days pretty much. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I've been at this project 3 weeks. I'm like, dude, it's not my problem that you're taking this long to finish a project. You know what I mean? Like, stop relaxing and start doing some work. Like, what the hell do you do with the rest of your day? You know what I'm saying? This is your job and you're spending 5 hours a day at it. And then you're complaining that you're not making money. So, I mean, that's my little pet peeve with that shit, and which is why probably my business partner, John, is the one that deals with most of the contractors, because the contractors tend to get a little offended when I speak to them that way. But that's what I've noticed. They do not put in the hours. you know, they're very lazy. They take so many freaking breaks. You know, they have a million excuses for why they don't do things. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to cost you money. And going back to the original point is that because of that, if they have to, on top of that, putting more material, more time because they screwed something up, the chances of them doing that correctly go down tremendously. And that ends up hurting you. You understand? So what we've realized is that it's not so simple as to say, oh, they screwed it up, screw them, let them do it. It's more like, how can I prevent them from screwing this up so they don't have to go and redo it, right? Because then, again, it's going to hurt you. This is your project. This is your profit. They can up and leave whenever the hell they want. You can bitch and moan all you want, but you're not going to take somebody to court for $1,000. It's just not worth it. You understand? They know that. You know that. Or at least you should know that. So going through all that is just time consuming for no reason. The best thing to do is to try to avoid it. And when you see problems arising, try to get them. Don't be optimistic or hopeful because you don't have somebody else lined up. It's better to fire a contractor, take a step back and start looking for another one than to try to keep making it work with somebody that's just like deteriorating day over day. And that's exactly what happened with this guy. He was deteriorating every day. Everything that he was doing was just getting worse and worse and worse. And I sat down with John. I'm like, look, man, this guy's getting really shitty towards the end. And this is where the stuff that really counts, the stuff that really shows is going to be. Like, we need to get rid of this guy before he finishes the stuff that we can't fix, right? Because unless we have to go in there, tear it off and redo it. So You got to be able to make those calls yourself, because if not, I mean, again, you're just going to take a bath on these projects. Also, we took out one of our investors out to dinner. She lends money to us on a lot of our projects. So we like to keep the relationships going with these people. It's not, you know, a lot of investors, I see them be very transactional with their money lenders and stuff like that. We don't like being transactional. We like building relationships, because right now is not the hard time in real estate. Right now is when any idiot can make a dollar, right? There's a lot of money available. There's a lot of ways that you can make money in real estate. So right now is not the problem. The problem is when the market churns and all that easy money goes away. And the only thing that's left is the relationships that you've built. So that is what we look at. Everything that we do in our business is always focused on tomorrow. You know, whatever we have today is a result of what we did yesterday. So whatever we do today is going to be the result of what we have tomorrow. So that is why we do what we do. We take them out to dinner. We show them our business plan. We talk to them. They get to know us better. We get to know them better. And it just builds a much better relationship, a much better bond between us. Because like I said, you know, right now, yeah, we're all making money. But as soon as the market turns and deals get harder and, you know, deals take longer, whatever it is, we're going to be the ones they trust to lend to at that time, right? So you got to put in that time. You got to put in that work to build those relationships. So we went out. We took her out to dinner. We had a great time, really getting to know each other. And she felt even more comfortable getting to know our business model, like what our goals are and everything for our business. So it was a really good meeting all in all. Also, on another one of our renovations, we usually like to stay within the $200,000 ARV in San Antonio. We'll try to stay around that price point, maybe go a little higher, like 210, 220. But we were recently partnered up and doing a deal that we're going to be selling for about like 270, 280. So this is a different price bracket, right? Then, especially in San Antonio, this price point takes a little harder to sell. It's a price point where people don't need, they'd rather be in San Antonio. So like the reason we like under 200 is because those houses are hard to find. So we know if we do, you know, X, Y, and Z, it's going to sell all day long. But now when you get into the higher price points, now these people have more options, right? Because they have more choices to buy newer homes, to buy whatever it may be. So we're renovating a house that was built in the 50s or 60s, I believe. And we're doing everything. I mean, we did everything brand new. But now we're getting towards the end of the finish out, or like John likes to call it, the pretties of real estate, the stuff that is seen. And we wanted to kind of see, all right, what else can we do? Because yes, like what we talked in a previous podcast about appraised value versus perceived value, right? So yes, we know we've met our appraised value. We know that the house will appraise for that price all day long. That's not a problem. But now what we want to target is that perceived value. We want somebody to come in and instead of saying, yes, this is nice, I have five other houses to go see, we want them to come in and say, this is awesome, I want this house right now, right? So we want to go through it and like, what can we do? So one thing that we do continuously is ask for help. We are not proud people. We love asking for advice from people that are a lot savvier than us in those areas, right? There's a lot of things that we don't know and we would love to learn. So we reached out to a real estate agent slash investor that we know. He's an agent number one, which is why we called him. And he has a ton of experience in this market and being an agent. So we gave him a call and we said, hey, do you mind stopping by so you can take a look at the project and see what are things that we are missing here, right? So it was, he came by and like always, a freaking wealth of knowledge. Just by, he was telling us, you know, you put some blinds here, you do this little touch here, you change this door there. So, I mean, little minor tweaks, but that after he explained it, it's like, yeah, I can see how that's going to make a world of difference, right? Because it makes the house look a lot more finished. Even though it's finished and it's move-in ready, but there's still always with every house, it's still something where the homeowner moves in and they still got to do final tweaks and stuff to make it theirs, right? Well, we're on this one, we're like making those little final tweaks ourselves where it's still very neutral tweaks. It will go with anybody, but it just puts this property above and beyond everybody else's. So he came over, he spent like a good hour with us and going over everything and definitely gave us some great feedback, some great information on what we should be doing. So that's what we did last week and what we're working on this week to finish it out. So we're finishing this property out by adding all those little tweaks, which again, it was blinds. We still need like a glass door on our shower because we built this massive walk-in shower and we need to put the glass door so it looks really nice. Patio, bunch of other little things. But yeah, definitely always seek out advice. I always tell people, you know, when you're getting into this, depending, you know, regardless of where you're working, and if there's something that you don't know, ask for help. People are always willing to help you, you know, and it just makes it so much easier for you. You eliminate all the guesswork. Another cool thing that happened is we got asked to speak again at the Alamo. So if you're in San Antonio, you go to the Alamo RIA, which you should go to. They're a great RIA. They provide a ton of resources. They have the main RIA every month, and along with the main RIA, they have a flip focus group every first Monday. Then they have a flip buy and hold group. Then they have a wire meeting, which is women in real estate, and I believe they're starting one with commercial properties. So these are individual little meetups that happen throughout the month, specialized in those topics specifically. And then they have the main event every month. So we got asked to speak at the Flip Focus group, which is tonight, and also at the main event to go over one of our horrible deals. So that's going to be fun. So that's pretty cool to be able to get out there and share more of our experience with more people. Also, our Montana property is going very well. That's the one where we partnered with a contractor on, and this guy is just rocking and rolling. He's just going through this property, got the electrical, got all the permits, got the electrical plumbing pass, so they should be closing that up soon. And the whole exterior is done, so that property should be, hopefully it should be done by the holidays. So we're really excited about that one. Go to Prime Homes to check out on Facebook. And you'll see like the progress that property's making. It's our property on Montana, and it's downtown San Antonio, kind of not the historic area, but I mean, the house is old as hell, so it's like 1920s. But definitely great property, really cool rehab. Another thing is with the same contractor, he's an expensive contractor because he really knows his stuff, right? But he wants to branch off and do more of the investing side. So we decided to start partnering with him, possibly on building homes. So we're looking to get into that right now, is finding lots and doing stuff like that and trying to build some houses. Much easier than renovating a house, because when you're building a home, there's no hidden surprises. I mean, you're building from the ground up. So you can anticipate exactly what your costs are going to be, exactly what you're going to sell it for. I mean, there's really no surprises as far as that goes. Now, the only thing is just finding the land cheap enough where this makes sense. So that's another thing that we've been also working on trying to get into. Last night, I sent out the newsletter. We send it out every month. It's called the Investor's Digest. If you haven't signed up, go to our website, primehomes.com, and sign up. In it, we share the market update for the San Antonio real estate market. This update John has been doing for, I think like 2 years now. So we started doing this for ourselves, just pulling in data to see which areas are good to market in, where the market is going. And then we started sharing the data with pretty much on YouTube. So whoever wants to, they can look us up on YouTube and go back 2 years and see all the data for San Antonio. So that market update went out. We also include in there some headlines for the San Antonio market of things that are happening in the real estate market there. So it's really cool. Oh, make sure to check it out. And that's about it. Of course, there's more stuff, which is why I don't like skipping a week, because now I can't remember what happened. But I promise these will get better, hopefully, as we move forward. But it's just that. It's just kind of showing you guys what it really takes to be an investor. It is a lot of legwork. It does take a lot of your own time, your own effort. A lot of people want to do this passively, and there's no such thing. I mean, real estate investing, even if you're doing buy and holds, there's nothing passive about it. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the work. Even if you're doing rental properties, you got to keep analyzing them. You got to keep an eye on your property manager. I mean, perfect example. We have a property with a property manager, and we needed a step done on the property. And it was a concrete step. One step, okay? One step. And we just didn't have the time. We were doing all the other ones. So reached out to them, hey, do you have somebody that can come in and do the step? And they're like, yeah, sure. They send us a bid. $750 to do one step. I mean, man, John shows me this quote and I was like, okay, screw real estate. We need to start making steps. I mean, holy crap. But one step, what are you talking about? Hour, maybe two worth of work? $750? You're out of your damn mind. So, you know, again, you know, John got the materials, got everything, went over there and just did the step real quick. It cost them all of not even $100 with travel and everything. So, you know, even on property management, you got to keep an eye on them. You got to make sure that everything, you know, you're checking all the numbers. We also had that same issue that they were charging us like, it was like $500 or $600 to replace a faucet in one of our rentals. Like, we went for $100 and replaced the faucet. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Putting a gold faucet in there? You know what I mean? Are you having like the master plumber of the president come install it? Like, it's insane, insane prices. And if you think about it, as a rental, let's say your cash flow is $250 and you're spending, you know, $500 on a faucet, there goes 2 months of your cash flow. Like, that's not acceptable at all. So again, this is not passive. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the time. If you're flipping houses, you got to make sure you go to them every single day. Make sure that the contractors are not getting ahead of themselves, that they're doing everything. Even if you're wholesaling, you got to get out there. You got to be knocking on doors, calling people, you know, sending out marketing, networking. This is a very hands-on, boots-on-the-ground business. The only people that can be passive are lenders And even still, they should be doing their homework, because I've been seeing more and more lenders, even hard money lenders recently, lose their ass on deals that they just didn't vet. You know, they're lending to investors that are new in the market, know nothing about investing, and extremely risky deals. And then they come to us, hey, can you help us out? And we're looking at these properties, and it's like, no, you screwed it up so bad, we got to tear the property down, because you chopped up joists, you chopped up foundation. I mean, you literally destroyed the property trying to fix it. You know, and this is happening more and more. So again, this is not passive. Put in the time, put in the work. If not, go get a job, do something else. Because all you're going to do is screw yourself over, lose money, and end up hating the industry. I think real estate investing is awesome when it's done right. So make sure you do it right. All right, guys. That's all for today. So keep checking back. Again, always ask questions. Anything you guys need from us, we're very reachable. Anything you want to know, just reach out to us. Everything that we talk about is from our own experience. We don't regurgitate any guru or any other crap. So everything that we talk about is stuff that we've done. So any questions, anything you want to know, make sure to reach out to us. Best place is usually Facebook. Easier to get messages and stuff through there. You can always email me at john@primehomes, JON@primehomes. And yeah, so stay tuned. We'll put out another podcast this week, and hopefully I get back on doing this every week so I can bring you more organized information moving forward. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Catch you in the next one.